Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast sponsored by Wintrust. Tony and Jackie here with Kelly Kroll. And Kelly, we were just trying to figure out the math of this season. I'm not quite sure we got it. I know the magic number for the Cubs is down to three. They only have three games left. And the Cubs are playing the Cardinals. The Brewers are playing the Tigers. That's about all I can say for certain.
Great. So the rest of the addition and subtraction is left to me.
Yeah, all you.
Not exactly. I did like algebra, but the rest of the stuff, not really for me. No. So I, first of all, would start with in about as a close to a must-win game as the Cubs have had this season. They pull off a victory on Thursday night against the Pirates in what was a very important split for that series. We saw David Bodie come through big to kind of get the offense started, and then John Lester, despite not having his best stuff, really battled and grinded out exactly, you know, it really is something amazing to see a guy like that who is so experienced be able to still navigate such a dangerous lineup, really, which they had seen the last three nights. I mean, this Pirates team was playing really well. So anyway, I wanted to start there and say that's a big win, and it was a huge win for the sake of going into the final three games with a one-game lead in the division versus going in tied. I mean, you think about what that does from a mental, psychological standpoint. I mean, I don't even know. I wouldn't know the comparison to go to, but it certainly makes a huge difference. And so here we are, three games left against the Cardinals for the Cubs. And yes, the three-game lead means if they win on Friday and the Brewers lose on Friday, they are down to one. Their magic number would be down to one heading into Saturday. And then if the Cubs were to win Saturday, that's it. They clinch the division. That would be their best case scenario, right? But then it gets a little bit more complicated. If the Brewers win and the Cubs win, you are down to two going into Saturday. Do I need to go through all these? I mean, how many scenarios do people at home want to hear? You guys can figure this out, right?
So we'll simplify it. If the Cubs win two games, two out of three against the Cardinals, they guarantee they will at least play in a game 163 to determine the division winner. If the Cubs win all three games against the Cardinals, they win the division hands down. The ball's in their court. That's their destiny. All hands on deck, as Anthony Rizzo said. So regardless of what the Brewers do, the Cubs can determine where they still have a very, very legitimate shot at this division right now.
I have a question for you. Do we know who will pitch in game 163, given what we know about the rotation right now, which is
Jose Quintana would pitch in game 163 on regular rest against the Brewers, who he has dominated over the last 2 years.
Boy,
so
it's like these Cubs management guys know what they're doing or something.
Yes.
And that's impressive, because we were already talking about Lester would have been set up for the wild card game,
He
still is. That's your guy. So, man, I really got into this whole buying into the one game at a time thing, and I hadn't really looked that far ahead. But that is, that you couldn't ask for more, I don't think, as a Cubs fan, to be sitting there knowing that if it came down to 163, you've got Jose Quintana going up against the Brewers and a team that he's really had a lot of success against. So,
and I mean, the other good news too, if the Cubs do somehow pull off this division, they will have Quintana, Lester, Hendricks, or Hamels all available to pitch Thursday on regular rest or extra rest for game one of the DS, if it gets to that point.
But, and we were hearing a lot about how the rest, I mean, the guys don't want to go there. They're not willing really to talk that far in advance. It's the whole one game at a time. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's working for them right now. And it certainly, I think, puts the pressure and or the panic in perspective. And I just think that I think I lost my train of thought, actually. But what I was going to say, the rest, that's it. But the rest would be huge. That's what they've all said,
you
know, because I thought it was, I was laughing at Kyle Schwarber, who has been through a wild card game before, say that it takes years off your life. And he said that. He's like, I remember Pittsburgh and years off your life. So the
one guy who hit like an early homer and started that game. Right.
But that was the one thing we heard from a lot of guys who were willing to even just talk about what that wild card game is like. And that is that it takes... I mean, it's game seven. You, as Joe said, you start at the end in the beginning, and that's just really hard to do and then continue on from there. Not that that it can't be done. It can, and this team has proved to do it before and then have a nice long run in the postseason. But if they can avoid it, that's obviously what they would like to do, and that's where their sights are set. I loved hearing John Lester say after the win against the Pirates that how did he phrase it? That they're not being arrogant, but they expect to win the division. And that's where their sights are, and that's mentally all they're thinking about. So I liked hearing him say that, and I think that that's where the vibe of this club is. I will say tonight, being where I sit in the dugout, a lot more chatter, a lot more noise down there. And every guy was standing up against the railing, engaged in each and every pitch. That's what I remember about postseason baseball here at Wrigley. It felt that way on Thursday night. I can only imagine what the next three games are going to feel like. We did, as Madden even brought it to our attention, we saw a lot more mentally engaged at bats against a really great pitcher in Trevor Williams, who's had the best run in the second half of any National League pitcher.
Any pitcher in the big leagues.
Yeah, not just the National League, you're right. And so I think even more big picture, seeing the offense come to life here in the last couple games, and just in general, better baseball on the field here at the Friendly Confines was something this team needed to have turn around as they hit this final series, and then what they're hoping is a long drive in October.
Yeah, I mean,
drive in October, sorry.
And they look more like the Cubs again. I think that's the best way to put it is, you know, they're wearing pitchers down, like you said. Williams came in with a 1.08 ERA in the second half.
Great point, yeah.
And he threw 90-something pitches through five innings and had to be taken out. So even though he only gave up three runs, obviously it's not like that hammered him. But, I mean, he had to leave because he already got to his pitch count. That's what we used to see from this Cubs offense on a regular basis. And we haven't seen that as consistently this year as we have in the past. Part of that, obviously, due to, like, Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward missing some time, of course. But, you know, we saw that more. We saw that even with Daniel Murphy from the start. He didn't see a ball, but I think he still had a 5-6 pitch at bat to start the game and ended up just flying out to Williams, fighting pitches off, fouling him off. We've seen that throughout. And Joe Maddon's absolutely right. This offense looks way better, night and day difference than even Tuesday night. And Wednesday was kind of the step in the right direction. They weren't all the way there. Mm-hmm. Some guys had some really good at-bats and so on. But Zobrist got a day of rest, came back, had a double in the first inning, ended up having another couple of solid at-bats. Everybody just looked a lot better all the way through. And now Chris Bryant supposedly is going to be ready to play on Friday and back in the lineup after getting hit in the wrist. So things are definitely trending in the right direction as we speak. But I'm really curious to see, you know, all this rest, as we talked about, is a huge factor. Cubs have been tired. They've obviously played, you know, 40 out of 41 days or 41 out of 42, whatever it is, by the time this weekend's done. I want to see how they come at a day game after a night game against a Cardinals team that is as desperate as it gets. And it's so dangerous to play a team like that with absolutely nothing to lose. But if the Cubs can continue everything they've done these last 2 days, they'll be just fine this weekend.
Yeah, I think from a talent standpoint, they have a deeper roster. I mean, they're more talented than the Cardinals. And to your point, what this Cardinals team has done ever since the change in managers has been unbelievable, really. It has been. And they're a scary team come this time of year. Everybody knows what they're capable of doing. They know they've got those veteran leaders in there with Matt Carpenter and others that they never count themselves out. So, they certainly aren't going to layover this weekend for sure. But to your point of the offense looking better, something the Cubs needed to see, I also thought maybe we saw the switch flip for C.J. Edwards in Thursday night's win after
thanks to Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, who wouldn't elaborate really on what he said other than I told him to get the next three guys out. I'm sure
Rizzo, by the way, is no fun lately. He won't elaborate on the fan getting in his way. Now he won't elaborate on whatever expletives he used to talk to C.J. I mean, Rizzo's really become very boring in his post-game press conference.
Oh, yeah, so unfun, that Rizzo. No, I'm sure it was something he probably just felt like didn't need to be explained to all of us, but we could see through the grin that there it was probably a pretty intense conversation. But whatever it was, I felt like we saw C.J. Edwards just turn it on right there. And for what Rizzo did say was that he is one of the best relievers in the game. In the game, okay? They know they need to have him in the postseason. But then we also saw on Thursday night, we saw Steve Cishek come out and have a really good 1-2, three up, three down inning, very clean, kind of a rebound from the night before. And again, Jesse Chavez looked fantastic. And
my God, this guy, Chavez, where would they be without him? Not here, I tell you that much.
And he's loving it. And talking to him before Thursday night's game, I mean, he just said that this may be the best he's ever felt, at least as a reliever. And that's different this time of year than how you feel as a starter, which he did for a big part of his career as well. And so he is in a groove right now, and he's just trying not to overthink it, he said. He's just really going out there. And he has also, I think, for any of you listening that are fans of Jesse Chavez that showed up to the park and rooted him on, he's really digging the vibe here at Wrigley and the fan support he's gotten. He's like, it's cool to be seen around town and have people come up and tell you, like, love watching you pitch. And he's kind of really fed off that too. So yeah, you're right. I don't know where they'd be. And then there's Justin Wilson, who, again, I think if these guys can lock it in and the starting pitching continues to do what they've been doing and then this offense clicks, well, there's the team they've been looking for all season, and it showed up just in the nick of time.
And, you know, Chavez is always – he's interesting, and, I mean, looking forward, I could totally see them bringing him back as a swingman guy who, yeah, like you said, he has history of starting and everything else. And he was talking – I was asking him about this rest that we've talked about, and rest versus rust, basically. Steve Cishek admitted that he was kind of rusty, and that's part of what's led to his struggles. I think at first – he never really admitted it, but Joe Maddon did. For a while, he was being used every other game through the Cubs' first 143 games or whatever it was. He was used every other game, and then he only pitched in three of the Cubs' 11 games for a stretch after Strope got hurt before Wednesday night, and he just didn't feel there. He felt rusty. He felt like nothing was clicking, but now he's getting it back. Yeah. Chavez, same thing. He said he likes to get off the mound every day if he could, and he feels like everything's locked in. Same with Justin Wilson. Like you said, CJ's actually turning a corner. I mean, they need these four guys more than anything. And now coming up against the Cardinals, the Jorge De La Rosa's rested. Justin Wilson's rested for day one. Probably no Chavez, I can't imagine, after throwing three innings in two games. Yeah. But Edwards, Maddon said, was going to come out for another inning because he liked the look of him. He was pretty efficient with pitches despite a walk allowed. So we'll see where they're at. But, I mean, I'm also really curious if Pedro Strop comes back. I think that's kind of this X factor looming over the weekend. And I don't know if he'll be back for Friday. But I tell you one thing, if the Cubs can come out on Friday, beat the Cardinals, whether it's by one run or by 21 runs, if they do that, the Cardinals might just lay down. And I'm not saying that that clubhouse doesn't have enough veteran leadership or anything else, but if they lose on Friday, they're essentially out of it. They're not mathematically out, but they're probably out then after that. And I think you just might see like the air come out of them quite a bit. So I think the Cubs have an opportunity right here immediately out of the gate to kind of step on the throat of their hated rivals in the biggest series that we've seen these two teams play since the 2015 DS.
Yeah, a couple of things to what you were saying. The Jesse Chavez stuff, he did say, I'm sure to you as well, like one of the things for him when you're talking about that rhythm and the rust that they have sort of felt as Maddon's kind of tried to back off them a little bit and save some bullets, is he said that on Wednesday night he did get those two innings in a row, and that was huge for him. He said it was that, those two innings, and then to have that repetition out there in big moments. Again, keep in mind they're pitching in high leverage situations right now. That's so different than being asked to come out and do something in June and July, right? And so he did mention that specifically. And then to your point on Pedro Strop, which I was getting ready to bring up as well, I did see him bopping around in the dugout on Thursday night,
like usual,
huge grin on his face. And you know, I not many guys are coming over and just saying, hey, Kelly, in the middle of the eighth inning, you know, with a whatever, a tight ball game. But that's Pedro. That's just who he is. And I did get the sense that, you know, he is anxious to get back out there. You could see it in the way he was kind of pacing in the dugout. He wants to be back out there. But that'll be what's interesting is we've heard Pedro Strop say he thinks he can and wants to pitch in one of these last couple games that they have, but the club is not alluding to that in the least. So I don't know who wins out in this debate.
Maybe not alluding to that because they're playing something close to the vest because they don't want the Cardinals all of a sudden to prepare for Strope. And, you know, then you get – I don't even know what Strope's walk-up song is right now. But if you hear it playing and you see him run out, I mean, that would be a little bit of a little bit of a surprise, a little bit maybe of a punch to the gut to the Cardinals.
And they would love to have that, I think. But, yeah, I think the Cubs players are very well aware of what this first game on Friday means to not only them and moving forward with what their main goal is, but also what it can mean to their opponent. And what would it be for a second – I am right, a second year in a row that they clinch against the Cardinals, only this time they'd be doing it at home.
And they would affect – I mean, last year they also knocked the Cardinals out of playoff contention. So, so that's –
talk about this rivalry.
Cardinal-wise, I mean, that's very possible that, you know, like that's a worst-case scenario. But so you're talking if that does happen, then 2015, 2017, and 2018, the Cubs – directly knock the Cardinals out of playoff contention. That's I know we're putting the cart before the horse there, but that's something that Cubs fans can really
get into.
Yeah, turn on in the rivalry. But either way, you know, regardless of what happens, if the Cubs have to play game 163 against Milwaukee, it's at Wrigley Field. If they have to play the wild card game, it's at Wrigley Field. So I know that these aren't the best scenarios, but game 163 probably has the 40-man roster in place still. The wild card, you get to manipulate the roster depending on where you want. So things are not dire. Obviously, the Cubs don't, you know, would hope to avoid all of that. But that being said, I mean, I'm pretty excited to see what Wrigley's going to be like this weekend. I can only imagine how exciting it would be for a game 163 or a wild card playoff as well. So just from like a general baseball fan perspective, I really can't wait for whatever the next 5 days bring.
I agree. This is what, you know, late September baseball, meaningful baseball is all about. And I was just going to say, for any of the Cubs fans listening to our podcast, which we, of course, appreciate and love having had you listen to us all season long, but if you haven't jumped on the bandwagon in the last, like, 3 to 4 years, then you know what this time of year was like for so long. And all I can say is, 4 straight seasons now that this team is headed to the postseason. Enjoy it. Enjoy this win. Have fun watching Have fun watching this team go out and do what they've been doing now, and that's succeeding at the highest level. And they have given you sustained success, which in this industry is so hard to come by. So please, I'm just asking you to have fun with it if you can. I know that's hard. I know, and trust me, the guys in the clubhouse understand that you're living and dying on every pitch and every out. But they certainly are trying to soak up this moment as much as they can and trying not to let that pressure exceed the pleasure, as Joe has so often told
them. But he hasn't used that recently. I actually was expecting him to say it the other night, and I haven't heard him use that, I don't think, all this year.
Which, you know, the target's on their back. Look what the Pirates have come in here, and that every team is getting there. That's why they're seeing the best from every pitcher right now. So I understand that. But you're right, we haven't really heard those.
Yeah.
We did see the Mona Lisa sweatshirt, though, come out on Thursday. He's excited about that. MaddenArt.com for any of you who might have seen that and want a piece of those sweatshirts, or I guess there's yoga pants for the ladies coming too. So,
and men, he said he specified men, male yoga pants coming too. But let's
really get off the rails quickly. Yeah, and that's all my
it does. I'll bring it back to baseball before we sign off here. To piggyback off the point that you're talking about, 4 straight years in the playoffs, to give you an idea of how rare that is, first off, the Cubs have been around for 130 years as a franchise. Never happened before Wednesday night when they clinched. And John Lester has not been around for 130 years, but it's been close to it in the big leagues. He said he has never made the playoffs 4 straight seasons. And that was with, I mean, he won 2 rings in Boston before he even came to Chicago. So that tells you a lot about how rare and how special this is. So as you go into this weekend, like you said, Kelly, you know, this is a great time to be a Cubs fan. It's a great time to watch. And we hope we'll be doing a podcast after Sunday's game before whatever comes next.
Champagne would be awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Says the lady who just got the Gatorade bath in your suede jacket
Don't
the other
worry,
night.
Guys, so. The suede jacket's okay. It's going to live to see another day, and Javi was kind enough to pick up the dry cleaning bill if I needed it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, that'll do it for the Cubs Talk podcast. Again, we are sponsored by WinTrust. Thanks for listening.